Excuse me. After the sermon, we would like to have some quiet time to cogitate on the word and let it seep into our spirits. If you have a specific prophetic word, that's fine, not just an observation about the scriptures or something that pops into your mind, but you know, if you have a prophetic word or a word of wisdom, that'd be great. And then after the consecration, but before the administration of the elements, the body and blood of our Lord, we want to have some quiet time. And again, if there's a prophetic word that you have, please, 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 please speak up, or you may have the very word we need that day. Okay? All right. So, the book of the Revelation, chapter 21, verse 6. And this is St. John speaking. He's talking about Jesus. And he says, "And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end.'" It is done. Okay. It is done. I've told you this story before, so please forgive the repetition, but it is applicable and I think it's poignant. My mentor, as I was going through seminary and getting prepared for seminary, Father George Gillespie, he was an amazing man. If you asked George, "How are you doing, George?" he would always say, "I'm living in heaven." And the cool thing about that was he believed it and he lived it. And that was just awesome. What a testimony his life was. So what about us? What about you and me? Do we believe it? Do we even want it? There are so many Christians out there who are waiting for heaven. And they're missing. Heaven is now. In Christ Jesus. Now. Even some of the popular Christian catchphrases betray their denial of eternity. Think about it. One of the evangelical phrases that is often used is, "Do you know where you're going after you die?" Well, yeah, I'm already living there. But that's not what they see. Or the Bible. Basic instruction before leaving earth. What about basic instruction for living in heaven right now? That's where we are in Christ Jesus. It is done. Are we waiting for it to get done? Do we have a thermometer we could stick in it and test, see whether it's ready yet? Or is Christ's work complete now? I was a little bit confused. Whether this struck you, Father David, or not, but or anyone else for that matter, I was a little confused by the choice in the lectionary for the gospel for today. I mean, the gospel for today is the gospel that we read on Maundy Thursday. Why are we reading it again, and why in Easter? It just didn't hit me. I was kind of confused by that. But the passage, as I looked at it and prayed over it, makes the perfection of time in Jesus manifest. Let me show you. In John chapter 13, verse 31, Jesus says, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." Now is the Son of Man glorified. Glorified. When? Now. now, then, and now, now, and now in the future. Now is the Son of Man glorified. It wasn't just that one night, the night he was betrayed. No, it's all the time. Jesus is always glorified. And then in John chapter 13, verse 33, Jesus says, yet a little while, I am still with you. Okay? Now, what this does is it the juxtaposition of these two verses shows us the distinction between kairos and chronos. Okay? Let me explain what that is. Okay? Chronos deals with quantifiable, measurable time. You have a watch. It's a chronometer, right? And that's chronos. You can measure time, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years. That's chronology. That's chronos. Okay? Got that. Everybody with me? Yeah. All right. Good. All right. Kairos, though, doesn't deal with minutes. Kairos deals with moments. All right? Moments and eternity. All right? So when Jesus says, now is the Son of Man glorified, he was glorified in that moment, but with continuing significance on into eternity. It is always Kairos time. Are you with me? Okay. So, another way to say this is, Chronos is present tense. All right? You live in this moment. You can't live in the past. You can't change the past. You can't live in the future. You can't do anything to change the future. You can only change how you are living in this moment. That's present tense. That's chronos, okay? Kairos, though, is perfect tense. It is something that happens in a specific moment but has an ongoing effect. Let me give you an example. In the Eucharist, we say, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Christ is risen is perfect tense. He rose 2,000 years ago, but he is risen now. He will remain risen, and we will rise in him because he rose from the dead. And it has ongoing effect. It was something that happened in a moment of time, but has continuing significance. Okay? Are you with me? That's perfect tense. That's perfect. All right. It is done is in the perfect tense. This is Kairos time. Okay? And what this means for us is that every promise that God has ever made is available to us right now. Okay? Think about that. All right? So, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, when St. John says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. That's not future tense. That's perfect tense. We want to make the book of the Revelation into something that's going to happen down the road, and we can look forward to it, and we can hope for it. No, it's happening now, in this moment, in this Kairos time. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is with man, he is with us right now. His dwelling is with us. That's not a future hope. It is a present reality. We significantly limit God by trying to force everything into chronos time. We do it. We all do it. We look at the scriptures as some kind of historical record or a handbook for how to live. But the Word is the revelation of God's intervention into our world. He is inviting us to participate with Him in His eternal life, in His eternal work, in His power, in His love, in His purpose, in His very being. He's inviting us to be with him because he has chosen to be with us. The dwelling of God is with men. That's what the incarnation is. The incarnation is Kairos time. It is perfect tense. The incarnation was an act that happened in a moment in time 2,000 years ago, but with continuing significance. Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. Why? Because he chose to become incarnate and to live with us. As the scripture literally says in the Greek, he came to pitch his tent with us. Wherever you go, he's going to pitch his tent with you wherever you are, because he chose to do that. And the coming of the Holy Spirit, you were talking about Pentecost. Amen, Tripp. Absolutely. The coming of the Holy Spirit was an act in a moment of time on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago, but with continuing significance now and into eternity. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. It was not a one-time act. Surprise! It's available. You can have two. Hallelujah! Because it's Kairos time. It's perfect tense. And that event on the day of Pentecost, we participate in it by virtue of the Spirit dwelling in us. Okay? Miranda and I were talking on the way into church this morning about the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. We are residents of the New Jerusalem. We dwell with him. Therefore, we dwell in the New Jerusalem. We aren't waiting for it to happen. We dwell with him in his heavenly city. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 2, it says, I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Interesting. You look at that. Prepared and adorned are also in the perfect tense. You are prepared, you are being prepared, and you will be prepared, and you are adorned, and you will be adorned, and you will continue to be adorned in him. Okay? It's an ongoing thing. Miranda was saying the New Jerusalem is something that is now, and it's yet to be realized in its future.
Already?
In the power. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And in Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8, it tells us that being prepared and being adorned is the righteous deeds of the saints, yes. But we're being adorned and prepared as the bride of Christ. And we are married to him, and we are continually being changed into the likeness of him by our marriage to him. We belong to him. We are in Christ, and we are clothed in the garments of salvation which he freely pours upon us. All right, this Pentecost revival, what Tripp was referring to, it's awesome. Yes, absolutely. This Pentecost revival, it is happening right now. We keep hearing about change, change, change. Yes, it's happening. It's happening all around us. The change we keep hearing about, that's Kairos time. That's something that's happening now and will continue to have profound effect upon us as individuals and us as the church. It did happen. It is happening, and it will continue to happen in Christ. And if we are in Christ, we can experience everything that Christ desires for his people. We just have to want it, we have to seek it, and we have to ask for it. Okay? And look around. Look at the changes that are happening. It's a profound announcement by Christ of his work that's going on in the world. We have a new pope. We have a new primate. We will soon have a new patriarch. Those are all cool things. Yeah. But there's even more than that going on. I keep hearing about churches, small churches particularly. It's interesting, too. I don't know, maybe you have information about this, but I keep hearing these stories about these small churches, oftentimes in rural areas, that are having these Pentecost events going on in them. You heard some of that?
Yeah.
And it's just awesome. Okay? You know, it's not the big fancy churches and the mainline denominations, but these church, we were talking on the, we had a clericus yesterday via Zoom. Oh well, anyway, it worked. And one of the priests was talking about how he was going to take a trip this weekend to go visit one of those small churches that was in northern Alabama. He just wanted to see what was going on because here's this small Pentecostal church that basically insignificant, nobody ever heard of, that's having this incredible revival going on, and people are coming from all over the place to experience what's going on there. Change is happening. And the Spirit is falling in new and remarkable ways and in new and remarkable places. And, well, another one. I wish Daniel and Amanda were here today. Daniel and Amanda are headed to San Clemente, California in July. They're going to a youth conference at San Clemente, at our church in San Clemente, former Patriarch's Cathedral. And that's going to be an international event. Young people from around the world are coming because they want to see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and experience it and take it back with them to wherever it is they've come from. Awesome stuff. Really awesome stuff. Okay, so my question for you, and I believe what the Lord is asking us all today is, are you hungry for what Christ wants for His church? Are you thirsting for the Holy Spirit? Do you want to see now the signs and the wonders recorded in the Scriptures? Is that what you want to have happen? They're happening right now in churches across this land. But a mistake that we all tend to make is we want to wait for some spectacular thing to come to us. But what Jesus said is, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened for you. So ask for it. Seek it. Knock on Christ's door and just beg to make it that we may all be made alive again in Him. Change is happening because people out there are dying for the truth. Literally dying to know the truth, to have the truth set them free. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of anxiety. Father Mark Finley was telling me that when he went to Paris, Bishop Jones was supposed to go to Paris and do a revival for Bishop Del Monte and the churches in Europe. And they are very evangelical. They're certainly sacramental. But Bishop Del Monte said, we just don't move in the Spirit like I believe we should. And so Bishop Jones was going to go there to help them embrace the Spirit. And he couldn't go because of his back. So Mark went into his place and did this conference for the churches in Europe. And he said the one thing that all of the young people over there are expressing is fear and anxiety about the future. There's a lot of that out there. But the answer is not in politics. The answer is not in any kind of learning or doing. The answer is in the person of Jesus Christ and the power of His Spirit working in our lives. Life in Christ is perfect tense. It's something that happens now, but will have tremendous ongoing import into our lives. Time and eternity intersect right now. Do you want it? Are you thirsty for it? Ask for it. Seek it. knock on the door and ask Christ to come in. All of the promises of the Holy Scriptures, that's not future tense. This is present tense. It's now, right now. You read it, you can have it. Do you want it? Amen.
I heard.